So it was very interesting today. I picked up a Jewish guy, took him to the airport. He's flying back to Israel. And he's the kind of person who, not a religious Jew, but he knows the basics, you know. He knows the basic beliefs. During the conversation, about halfway through, I said the word Yahweh. He said, we don't use that word. I said something about Yahweh Elohim, you know, because he was talking about the Palestinian thing. And I said, something. It's a pretty long conversation. But he said, that's a we don't use that word. That's a sacred word. We don't use it. It's offensive if somebody uses it. I said, but he didn't get mad at me. I said, I didn't know that. I didn't know the common man over there. I knew the rabbis didn't use it, but I didn't know the common man. But anyway, he's saying, I'm having a hard time. He says, I'm 40-some years old. I'm having a hard time. I thought I had everything together, but now he says, I'm having a hard time not being angry or bitter or whatever the word. I said, well, you know, they don't understand when I say Proverbs. But I said, the wisdom of Solomon, what do you say? There's a time to build up, a time to tear down, a time for peace, a time for war, a time for everything. Time for hate, time for love. There's a time for everything. Now, we know in the New Testament you love your neighbor, but if your neighbor's attacking you, you have a right to defend yourself. If they're choosing to die, it's on them. You don't hate them. You'd rather them not want to. The Bible says to live peaceably with all men if possible. You have to defend yourself. And I said, you know, the wisdom of Solomon, they have a different name for it. I said, read that. That'll help you. He said, yeah, that might reconcile the dilemma I'm in. But when you study the Old Testament and the New, and you get some knowledge about biblical truths, you know more than them. You know more about the Bible than the Jewish people. And you can have more peace. God has the age of grace. I told him, I said, you know, if you really want to dig deeper, because he said, I'm questioning everything now. I said, well, just Google law and grace. Study that. Law versus grace. Grace versus law. And come up, see what you come up with. I said, we're in the age of grace, dispensation of grace. It would be amazing if the guy got saved. I told him most of the Republicans support Israel, especially the local churches, all the Baptist churches, all the Methodist churches, all the Pentecostal churches, they all support Israel. If they don't, something's wrong with them. Something's bad wrong with them. Because I told him, I said, Israel's God's chosen. And I said, somebody said something the other day and was mad because they said, I'm Palestinian. I said, well, I'm Jewish. What do you mean? I said, I'm Jewish by faith. I told him that story. I'm Jewish by faith. I'm under the lineage of Abraham by faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but Abraham has many children. And most of them are by faith. Like the stars of the sky, you know, the sand of the sea, many children. Think about it. If Jesus wouldn't have went to the cross, before the foundation of the world, none of us would have any hope. If the Messiah wouldn't have went through the nation of Israel, God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise, then none of us would have any hope. The whole creation had no hope. The age of grace is because God prepared it before the foundation of the world. He knew what would happen before it happened. The devil, he didn't know about the age of grace. He didn't know about the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, coming back to seal, being sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed. If you've received Christ, you believe in Jesus, you're sealed until the day of redemption. You have an anointing. Anointing from above. You're anointed. You have the unction from above. You know all things in Christ. If you take His word and rightly divide it, you know all things. The anointing, the unction from above is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the only way, the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way. Jesus is the way. There's no other way, people. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Logos. The Logos Word. And if the Logos Word spoke it all into existence, that means everything is a word. Everything is a sign. Everything is a revelation. Everything has a meaning. Everything has a deeper meaning. Whether it's shapes, symbols, letters, phonics, alphabet, everything has a deeper meaning. So when the gurus say Om, Om, or whatever, they must have did some experiments, but no matter what vibration you throw out there, it has a deeper meaning. You notice, like when you say, when you go to the doctor and he puts the piece of wood on your tongue, say ah, you're already starting the healing process right there. Ah, the healing starts right there. A piece of wood on your tongue. Hello. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So a lot of sin comes out of the heart, through the mouth, into the world, into the program, into the matrix. And so the way you speak, life and death and the power of the tongue, is like put a piece of wood on your tongue. Jesus went to the cross, hung on a piece of wood. He takes that piece of wood and presses it onto your tongue. Pierced. It's like Jesus was pierced to the cross. The healing starts when you say, ah, when you go to the doctor. And they put some pressure on your wrist to check your pulse because they're changing the sine wave. And when you give them some money exchange, it's like a redemption for your sin. And the medicine goes back to metronome. Medicine goes back to taking appropriate measures to measure metronome. And so when you measure out the medicine and you take it in a cycle, you're actually changing. You're actually doing a change in the sine wave in your body. Body that has a sine wave. And that sin has to be, just like with, like if you have acid reflux, it's going the wrong way. So what do? You take some peanuts or some peanut butter. All the Chinese know that. Every Chinese person knows that. I got acid reflux. Ask a Chinese person how to fix it. Eat some peanuts. Why? Because you're reversing the sine wave. It's going the wrong direction. The acid can't go up through some peanut butter, right? You're you're coating your throat with some peanut butter to stop the sine wave from going in reverse. The sine wave is a sine wave. And so the balance of the sine wave is S-I-N-E. E is spirit. S-I-N is sin. Death. Life. Death. Resurrection. Death. Resurrection. Death. Resurrection. So by typifying the death and the resurrection of Christ at the cross, you have eternal life. First, you enter by faith, and then you just walk it out. You die daily. Death, resurrection, death, resurrection, death, resurrection. You're a new creature. Every 2 months, I become a new creature. If I'm not rubbing shoulders with somebody every day, and they're listening, and we're communicating every day, then I just go to another level. I move to the next level. I'm not stagnated. Spiritually, I cannot stand to be stagnated spiritually. It's the worst. I would rather go without food for 48 hours than to be stagnated. My mind. I don't understand what people get out of football, basketball, the drama. I just don't get it. I do watch some prank videos, but I've seen them all now. It's all the same stuff, repeating. You already know what's going to happen before it happens. But spiritually, the eternal truths, I don't want to be stagnated. So, as you meditate and think about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. When you really do that, and you do it constantly, all the time, 24/7, when you're working, when you're sleeping, when you're just thinking about it all the time, you can't help but grow, right? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind is spirit. People say, well, don't be in your mind. Well, the mind is the spirit. Why not? Don't get stuck in your mind. Yeah, you need to go out and do some physical work. Dig a trench. Put a fence up. Do something physical, yeah. But even while you're doing something physical, you're thinking about stuff. You're comparing truth upon truth, seed upon seed. Really get to a point, realize it's not even you doing it. It's you get the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to the next level. When you really get serious about it, He becomes your teacher. It's like being in a university 24/7. It's like sitting under the teacher. When He showed me the archetypes, and He showed me the narcissistic system, and He showed me that time doesn't really exist. Once you see the archetypes, there's no more time. And then He showed me everything is the now. And then He showed me that when you look at somebody else, you're looking at yourself who took a different path. And then He showed me the self doesn't exist. It never existed. It's just delusion to wait until you woke up to the fact that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your will is like, why do you really want to do your will in God's program? Why do your will in the program of God? It makes no sense. It's God's program, it's God's design, it's God's creation. What does your will have to do with it? Why is your will even involved in that? Yeah, you have free will, but your free will should line up with Him. What His plan is, His program. what's sad is a lot of these people, they'll hear a preacher who got trained in seminary, and they listen to that preacher and worship that preacher, and they never think he can be wrong, you know. But when you really study and you listen to them, you'll start to hear contradictions a lot of times. And if they're not willing to look at their own contradictions, they'll stay down that rabbit hole. I'll give you one example. For years I watched this preacher. There's no such thing as for divorce. There's no reason for divorce. There's no reason for divorce. And I'm sitting here thinking. And then one of his children got divorced. And then he said, oh, there's a reason for divorce. He changed. He let his emotions change. But God allowed that situation to happen to try to wake him up that, hey, your legalism is junk. Your legalism is your problem. But I don't even think he was able to be introspective and admit he was in legalism. A lot of them are narcissists. They can't admit they either were a narcissist or still are. They can't admit they're legalist or still are. They can't admit they're traditionalist. They can't admit they're emotionalist. They're letting their emotions control them. They can't be introspective. You talk to somebody long enough and you show them their blind spot, they can't see it. And you have to do it very carefully if you want to be, if they're your friend or they, you want to stay friends with that person. You got to do it very careful, because it will make them very angry. I don't even talk to people. I don't create friendships with people who don't have any Bible truth. I will never create a close relationship or friendship with anybody who doesn't know their Bible. It's just who doesn't believe the Bible, you know. You could actually be married to a woman and she says she believes the Bible, but she don't even know what she's talking about. It's sad. They could be raised in church, and because of their traditions, they believe something contrary. Because of their traditions, it's contrary. Pretty amazing how Jesus knows every language. Think about that. If you pray to Jesus, Lord, if you pray to God, he knows every language. Isn't that amazing? How's that even possible? Because he controls all the languages. We're talking about a super intelligent being, super intelligent. Don't you know your body language reveals your heart? Your heart actually is being written in your demeanor, in your body, in your face, in your eyelid. Your heart is actually being written in your body. When Jesus looks at you, he already know everything, because it's archetypical. Archetypes. It's a script. It's scripted. Yeah, you have free will, but why not die to your own understanding and do God's will? And I'm preaching to myself at the same time I say this. It's no matter what it is. Obeying the boss. Loving your enemy. Love your neighbor. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in worry. Don't walk in doubt. Don't walk in anger and bitterness and revenge. So I kind of lost money in that situation, but that was good conversation. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise, even though I lost money on that, being in another city, because you make more staying local. But it was all right. It was worth it, I guess. Live and learn. Stuff that happens to you, you'll think about that conversation for years, probably, or something will come to your mind or something. A lot of times it prepares you for, usually your interaction prepares you for the next interaction. Every interaction is preparing you for the next interaction. You'll be prepared. Like, I had a little New Testament right here in the car, and I forgot to give the guy. I should have gave it to him, you know. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Kind of crazy for me not to think about that. I was trying to slowly introduce him to Jesus being God, but I couldn't squeeze it in there exactly. I didn't want to offend the rider, you know. But that tells me I need to keep these little New Testaments in my car for future. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abides on him. So that guy's going through a major crisis, and it's going to push him to question everything, he said. He said he was questioning everything at 40-some years old. 45 years old. I said, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. When I told him all the churches in the South supports Israel, he was shocked. I said, yeah, all the Republicans, they all support Israel. Every Republican I've ever met supports Israel. The USA supports Israel. That's our main ally over there. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel be cursed. You know, he's kind of going through what I went through, like many years ago, when you had an enemy in your own house, you know, people would get mad at you. Well, if I got an enemy in my own house, what do I have to do? I got to get rid of the enemy out of my house, period, any way possible. If you're an enemy in my house, a liar, a cheater, a troublemaker, trying to steal my house, trying to put me in jail, falsely accused, if you're an enemy in my house, you got to go. No, any way possible that you're going to be, you become my enemy. You chose to be my enemy. No, I didn't choose for you. You chose to be my enemy. So you got to go. You got to go, woman. It's your choice. You got a man working two jobs, take care of you, and you chose to be his enemy? I don't think so. Not on my watch. Not in my core. See, they want to flip things around and make you feel guilty. That guy said he was feeling guilty because he says, I feel like I have hate for them people. And then I told him that verse. He said, so I might have those feelings, but I can go back to normal. I said, yeah, you'll go back to normal. You don't have to live that way. You'll go back to normal. It's just a defense mechanism, you know. You might have that instant anger, but that's not who you are. It's just a program to protect yourself. And he has his wife and his kids, and he has an underground bunker over there. He said he showed his kids how to get into the bunker, you know, and not say anything. The guy works at Microsoft. He makes a lot of money, but he's still going through that question and process. it's really, if you don't have a grasp of the Old Testament, New Testament, the dispensations, the age of grace, the age of law, the millennium, the rapture, the new heaven and new earth, the bema seat of Christ, heaven, hell, if you don't have a grasp of the Bible, then you're in a reality, a fake reality that's, you're in a real reality that you don't even know what it is. And so you're living in delusions. You're in your own fake reality. If you can't rightly divide the word, you're in fake reality. And every choice and every decision you make is based on fake realities, based on lies. And so how do you yoke up with somebody who every choice they make is based on lies? They're contradictions. How do you yoke up with that? How do you become friends with that? How do you marry that? How do you marry somebody who has no truth? I mean, you're going to be sitting there on the couch trying to talk, and it'd be like talking to a trying to talk to your wife and she has no truth. What in the world would that be like? I mean, it's like talking to the devil. Be honest with you. Talking to somebody who has no truth. It's like talking to the devil. Because everything out of their mouth is a lie. Because they don't know any truth. They don't have any truth. Everything out of their mouth is a contradiction. And everything out of their mouth is delusion. Hath God said? I mean, really. And everything you try to do and to achieve some stuff and goals and accomplish something, they're against it. Because they don't understand what you're trying to do. I'm sick, to be honest with you. I wish I'd have known what I know now a long time ago. When they say, oh, I love you, I believe the Bible, I love you, I believe the truth, I believe in Jesus. Which Jesus do you believe in? You believe in the little milquetoast Jesus, or you believe in a strong Jesus? You believe in a Jesus that ain't gonna play games, or do you believe in a milquetoast Jesus that's gonna let you stay in delusion land and stay in mama's land, you know? Yeah, but my mama said, well, your mama's lying to you. That's not the truth. That's not Bible. I don't care if your mama said it. I don't care what your tradition is. If it don't line up, it's a lie. How can you yoke up with somebody who's always living in lies and mama land, you know? My mama did it this way. My mama said that. My daddy said this. Be your own person. Your mom and daddy could be wrong. Your mom and daddy could take you down a primrose path to hell. Just because they're your mom and daddy don't mean they're God. Who's first? God or your mama? God or your daddy? God or your traditions? God or your emotions? What's the truth? If you're raised in church, you should be able to know the truth. If you read your Bible, you should be able to know the truth if you're really saved. Because the Spirit of truth abides with you forever. If I was in a church and I was listening to them and I started seeing contradictions and stuff didn't line up, I'd be gone in like 2 seconds. I mean, I'd run. Because you're being brainwashed by that preacher. And if you have the Spirit of truth, you can't stay there anyway. If they're lying, you can't stay there because you got the Spirit of truth. He won't let you stay there. Once you see a contradiction, you question it. And you say, well, that contradicts. And the preacher says, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to study some more. No, it's a contradiction. It don't make sense. Now, if he was to say, well, that's a different dispensation and blah, blah, and he explained it to you, yeah. But if they just reject it and don't try to figure out what you're saying, they're probably hiding something, you know? When you spent your whole life looking for the truth and you see somebody who spent their whole life living in pleasure, the two don't mix. They spent their whole life looking for money and pleasure. The two don't mix. When you got somebody that spent their whole life, every waking hour, looking for the truth, and you got somebody who spent their whole life looking for pleasure and money, those two don't mix. Those two kind of people, those two characters cannot yoke up together and be happy in a business or a marriage or anything. It's two different worlds. Two different worldviews.